Technology Group EOH's annual loss has widened as it makes progress on cleaning up the business from a governance and structural perspective. The forensic report by ENS Africa, which previously flagged suspicious transactions of 1.2 billion rand at the company, has been modified to 935 million rand, and EOH has blacklisted and suspended payments to 50 implicated enterprise development partners, adding that its focus will now be on reducing debt and improving governance. Company CEO Stephen van Coller joins us to discuss the full year numbers and how the company is positioning itself for future growth. Thanks so much, Stephen, for joining us this evening. So as I say there, we've had the value of suspicious transactions modified downwards, but EOH reporting revenue down almost 3%, while your headline loss has tripled as well. A year into the job, Stephen, and this proving quite a difficult ship to turn around.
Yes, it's been a very interesting journey, clearly. I think what's really key is that if you have a look at, there's been some big mistakes. I think obviously the lack of governance and controls have contributed to it. 935 million rand is a lot of money that's been taken out of the company. And this has contributed to the fact that we've ended up with quite a big debt burden, which is not correct for a services company, especially when you're running on a 10% margin. And so, you know, one of the things we need to do is we need to halve the debt we've got. It's 3 billion today, and we'll get to 1.5 billion over the next 18 months. It's exactly the plan we've agreed with the banks. One of the interesting things is the banks have been very responsible around the plan, and instead of the previous lending agreement, we had 100% of all proceeds went to the banks. We get 25% back now to build the business, and I think that's quite exciting.
Let's hone in on building the business, because you've been emphatic about the kind of work you're doing to improve governance. In fact, you've suspended payments and blacklisted 50 enterprise development business partners that have been implicated in suspect payments. How does that impact your deliverables or your capabilities down the road?
Well, the thing that's been really important, if you have a look at the detail, more than 600, I think about 665 million of that was for work not done. So actually it enhances it, because I'm not going to pay 665 million to people for doing nothing. And hopefully we can, you know, that will end up in the bottom line. And I think that's been the fundamental problem. The issue also is you get into wrong contracting, because you're getting all the bits and pieces wrong. And I mean, one of the big numbers is we've written off 750 million rand for wrong contracting, where we have not contracted appropriately, haven't been able to execute the work properly within the defined contract, which has meant we've had to rework some things and pay money in, which has been very difficult.
Yeah. Having said that, I mean, these are likely to be long-standing battles, with some of these players having brought legal action against EOH, and that, one assumes, coming at quite a cost too.
Yes and no. I mean, some of them are quite cut and dried, if I can put it that way, because they're, you know, what we call teaming agreements, and if there's no project to work on, you don't have to pay anyone anyway. Some of them have just been rolling and rolling and rolling, and so we've basically cut those relationships. Some of them were done through enterprise development loans, and this is where we really found out what was going on, because people weren't paying the loans back, and we sent them letters of demand, and then we got all sorts of nasty legal letters telling us that they were never intending to pay them back.
Yeah.
And then we started realizing actually what was going on.
Legal fees aside, Stephen, the reputational damage has resulted in much lower hardware sales, customers swapping out existing computer products for competing brands. We've already seen Ultron win the business of Microsoft, and that a massive contract that you've lost. How do you start to win back market share?
I think some of it is going to be just working through this, getting the trust back. They say, you know, reputation is built over 10 years and lost in a second. And I think we need to earn our stripes again. The software business, I mean, the hardware business is just easy to switch, because it's not a high-value item in terms of intellectual capacity, and we've seen some of that. It is the lower-margin business, as we concentrate going forward, we will concentrate on our competitive strengths, which is really around the intellectual capital that we've got and these more defined developments programming that we're very good at.
Yeah, it's especially tough in a weak macroeconomic environment, though, where there's already seen been a delay in infrastructure projects in your Nextech business, which also contributed to depressed revenues and margin pressure for the 2019 financial year. What capacity do you have now to start alleviating some of that pressure?
So really what we've had a look at this is a few things. Obviously, cost's a big issue, and I talk about our property savings. You know, we had 104,000 square meters of empty space. I mean, that's half a shopping center. Mm. So we've closed down 32 buildings this year, savings of about 65 million. Got another 44 buildings as they come off their leases next year, give us about 150. We've taken about 600 million rands worth of cost out through better, you know, procurement, optimizing how we deal with contractors, because we've got quite a flexible workforce. And so there's a lot of those things we have to do to make sure we right-size the business for what it really is today rather than what it was yesterday, make it fit for purpose for this economic environment.
Of course, amidst it all, you've been selling some of your assets. How much more sits on the chopping block?
So we've done around 15 assets. There's about another 21 to go that were of the what I call the phase one. We did do an experiment with one of our four IP businesses, CCS. I just wanted to see, was it possible to get an international partner into a South African entity? And we did. It was very successful. We got a German-listed company, RIB, the leading marketplace for this 5D BIM construction and architectural software. Mm-hmm. And what's been interesting is they've really suddenly got a very short time to market. They've insourced some of the microservices. They've got into new markets like Australia and New Zealand very quickly instead of having to go and train salespeople. And so we're going to repeat that. And I've got three more IP businesses. They've got about EBITDA together about 300 million. And if you remember, we got 8.5 times EBITDA for CCS, which was, you know, obviously in this economic climate, quite a successful transaction.
I was just going to ask you now, are you managing to fetch reasonable price tags for these businesses, or are we looking at a fire sale of assets?
No, I think one of the things that really saved us is that EOH is very modular, you know, business. So a lot of these assets are ring-fenced. They actually run their own businesses in a legal entity. And so this contagion from head office didn't go through all the businesses. And so it was quite contained, if you remember, to the head office, you know, public sector unit. And so actually being able to sell them, you can go and get a history, you can have a look at it. And the good thing about the IP businesses is because it's software and it's scalable, they continue to grow. So they've grown through even last year into this year and are predicting even further growth. And I've had a lot of interest for them. So now we're focusing on making sure we get the right partners.
Let's leave it there, Stephen. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Of course, Stephen van Coller is CEO of EOH.